This actually is everything that happened to Jacob. When we talk about the blessing of God, a lot of times people just think in the terms of financial blessing, which that absolutely entails a blessing. But the blessing goes so far beyond that. The blessing is a very encompassing operation of God. In the day of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they coveted the blessing because God would pronounce the blessing on the firstborn. And Jacob, there says something about him that just was not going to be denied. Even from his mother's womb, Esau came out and Jacob grabbed his foot on the way out. There's something about him. He wanted that blessing. Now, we'll look a little bit at Esau's life. He got it. He got it in more ways than one. Of course, the first time we know when Esau came in from hunting and Jacob had the venison he was cooking, and Esau was so hungry, and Jacob took advantage of him. He said, "Give me some of your stew." And he said, "Sell me your birthright." This is why when God says, "Esau, I've hated," he didn't hate him in that way. He hated this action that a man would sell his birthright from God. And that was huge back then. It would have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. That's what it should have been. But he says, "Sell me that birthright." And he sold it for a pot of stew. He goes, "Well, I'm going to die anyway." So he sold his birthright. And that's really what Jacob's name means, is supplanter, deceiver. It's because what he did, it's who he was a large part of his life. And that was not the first time. Because that blessing belonged to Esau. And Jacob grabbed his foot. And then he deceived him. And he received the blessing of the birthright, the firstborn. It's pretty powerful. Especially when you're dealing with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because that was a sworn blessing under covenant with God that just create increase everywhere. And the second time we see this happen, is those of you know the story, is Esau was very close to Isaac, but Jacob was very close to his mom. And so his mom and him get together. Mom got in on the equation. Got to watch when mom gets involved, you know. Because it was time for Isaac. He was going to be pardoned. He was going to release a blessing. And normally you would do that to the firstborn. And they knew that. And so Esau was a very hairy man. So they tied a animal skin on his arm. Isaac couldn't see anymore. And so when they came in, you know the story. He pretended and he tied the animal skin. So he smelt like Esau. He felt like Esau. But he talked like Jacob. And Isaac goes, "Listen, you smell like Esau. You feel like Esau. You sound like Jacob." But they ended up deceiving their own dad. And he released the blessing, and God bound that blessing. Because once that blessing was released, it was not going to be retracted. And he got it twice. He supplanted his brother twice. Stole everything from him. I mean, in all accounts, you'd think that's unfair. But there's something about Jacob that understood the blessing. I'm not saying the way he went about it was the right way, but he got it nonetheless. He coveted. He understood it. He went after something that wasn't even his. But he got it anyway. And God honored it. Even though he did it as a supplanter, he did it as a deceiver. And of course, this enraged Esau, and Jacob had to run from Esau, and that's how he ended up there with Laban, and he spent 20 years. And so he gets it twice, and he runs from him, and so he starts paying a little price of his own with Laban. You know, Laban changed his wages 10 different times and got him to work 14 years. It was really 21, wasn't it? Overall, 21 years to get the wife he wanted, because Laban understood that blessing, but God was working with Jacob. But before he went there, this is where I want to get into, God took him to Bethel. And that's where the open heaven was. The house, we call it a house of Bethel. Where the angels were ascending and descending. And he said, "This must be the house of God, the manifested glory." And God affirmed the covenant with Abraham to him, but he did it in a way, what we call the face of God, because the way the King James wrote it, it really didn't say it that way. God spoke from a position of done. He did this three times with Jacob. This was the first time. In Genesis 28, you can open to that. And we set a ladder. And the Lord stood above it and said, the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, verse 13, the God of Isaac, and the land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it. In verse 14, this is a big verse. And to thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, King James would add the shall. You haven't listened to the Face of God series we've done. When God speaks from the face of God, he doesn't put shall in there. He doesn't even say, I will. He said, I have already done it. He speaks from a position that's finished. So he manifests his glory over Jacob, and he's reaffirming this covenant all the way to Christ, because with all three of them, he spoke the covenant all the way to Christ. But he spoke it as done. And this is very important, because this is a place we're learning to pray from now. It's very phenomenal. A lot of warfare around it, but it's a very phenomenal place to pray from. Is moving into a place where the enemy has no jurisdiction over you. Moving into a position of prayer outside of time and his jurisdiction. Into a place predefined by God, by his word, that's complete, finished, and done. There's a lot of scriptures, I'd like to use this analogy. When I bought on a convertible one time, it was an Infiniti. I saw it online. I've never seen a car like that. It was awesome. I didn't even know it was a convertible because it was a hardtop. And the guys go, that's a convertible. I was like, whoa, got to have it. And so we presented to her in front of the church. And after that day, I would see that car all the time. You ever had that happen? Because now my frequency has been tuned in to the Infiniti convertible. And so every time an Infiniti convertible would drive by, I said, we got one of those. But before that, I never really noticed it. It's the same way in the Word of God. There's frequencies running through the Word of God. And when you adjust to a certain frequency, you'll see that particular operation everywhere. It's like the whole Word is saying that everywhere. Before, you wouldn't even see it. And particularly a place called done. Are there scriptures that speak of positions that are done? Yes. They're all over, completed and done. You are complete in him. You have been raised together with him. To him who justified, to them he glorified. So there's a lot of different places that God finished before he ever began. In fact, one of our theme scriptures here is the hands do finish. The hands have laid the foundation of the house. The hands do finish. He speaks your end from the beginning. Which is an amazing thing, because if you can find your end and get your faith attached to the end, your faith's going to work a whole lot better for you. Because in King James it said shall, but the Lord, when he alerted me all this, he said, you need to go to the literal, and we've been preaching a lot about this. So we went to the literal, and this is how actually that verse reads in the literal transaction. Thy seed hath been. This is exactly what the Lord said to him. In the glory, when he manifested his glory in the house of Bethel, there in Bethel, thy seed hath been as the dust of the land. Thou hast broken forth westward, eastward, northward, southward, and all the families of the earth have been blessed. You see the have been done realm? And I am with thee, and I have kept thee whithersoever thou goest. And have caused thee to turn back to this ground. He actually said, I've caused thee to come back here. Because he's going to return back to this place at the end of his life. But God had to do something with him before he did this. This is one of my favorite operations of the face of God. When the Lord speaks, he said, thy seed hath been. You see the hath been? It's important because God's just not saying those words. God is actually transporting Jacob away from the time he lives in and bringing him to a place that's done. He's actually moving him through the glory. He's moving him through time, and he's speaking from the finish line. And when God speaks something like that, it's done. Amen? Which is an awesome thing. Now, with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and we talk a lot about what he did with Joshua. He did the same thing in Joshua, Jericho. When we talk about this operation, when God does this, he does the speaking. But we're a new covenant bridal company, sons and daughters, and we've been given authority to speak in his name. So now we do the speaking, but it's the same model. It's the same operation. It's the same principle. And if I were you, I would listen to that series over and over until the light bulb comes on. Because when the light bulb comes on, you'll start speaking from a position that's done. Because you'll move there and your spirit will get moved there. Your body can't move outside of time, but your spirit can. Your spirit can move with him who was, is, and is to come. We know that because God's moved people through time. He called John up through a door and the whole book of Revelation played out. He already lived the book of Revelation before it's already done. Because in the Father, everything's living in the Father. Everything that's spoken in that word is already done in the Father. It's already complete. That's why the Lord said, pray like this, the will of the Father be done on the earth as it is already done in him. So the key is we have to identify what's done first. What part of you God has already perfected? What part of your call has he perfected? Who are you? Where are you? Find out who you are. Well, I don't know. That's why you got to go dwell with him. Because when you hang out with him, one of the things about hanging out with God in the glory realm is he shows you things. You cannot stand in the glory of God and not be shown some level of the future. It's just going to happen. Because that's what God does. When Isaiah got caught up in the glory, he wrote of his time, he wrote beyond his time, and then he wrote the time of Christ, and then he wrote of the last days. He wrote in so many dimensions because he was caught up in the glory. That's going to happen, by the way. Moses got subjected to the glory. And God said, when he said, show me your glory, he goes, I'm going to show you my hinder part. I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. That was Christ. I'm going to pass by you. You're going to see what's behind. Who wrote the first five books of the Old Testament? Moses. Was he 2,500 years later than Adam, I believe. Was it 25? 15, 1,200, something. It was like a long time. How do you capture that kind of information and all the intricate details of 50, 60, 70, 80 generations behind you? You can't pass information like that down. You can't pass that detail. God opened the glory realm of him who was, and he wrote everything, captured the whole thing. That's pretty powerful. It's profound. God gives Jacob this first encounter. He says, I'm going to bring you back here because he's introducing, but he already spoke it. It's done, but he's going to do something with Jacob. And when he does this with Jacob, he's going to get him ready to truly multiply. God has to do some things with us. But even Jacob, he grabbed that promise, stole it from his brother twice. This time we find one of the most unique situations ever. He's coming back from Laban. On his way back, his brother, he hears his brother's coming up. I mean, he thinks his brother wants to kill him. He's totally afraid. He goes and hides himself in a place called Penuel. And he's crying out to God because it's judgment day for him. As far as he was concerned, Esau was coming to kill him. And so he's full of fear. This is Jacob, fear, supplanter. All of this is, and we find something, one of the most unique events in all the Bible. He's wrestling with God. It's not an angel. It says an angel, but he's actually wrestling with God because he goes on to say after this wrestle, he said, he called the place Penuel, which means face of God. I've seen God face to face. He wrestled with God and pre-incarnate Christ. He wrestled with him and he wrestled with him all night. And they wrestled. Part of that wrestling is the angel tried, or the pre-incarnate Christ was going to walk away from this whole situation. And Jacob goes, I'm not letting go. He goes, I won't let go till you bless me. Say, I won't let go till you bless me. Now this one was going to come God's way. This one wasn't going to come by deception. This one wasn't going to come through supplanting. This one he had to get by God. He had to hold fast. It took wrestling. Sometimes the promise takes wrestling. All the time you have to hold fast, because this blessing was not a mere just I bless you, a shimmy shoo, and send you on your way. This blessing changed the course of history and birthed a nation out of his loins. That nation's Israel to this day. It came out from this encounter. Sometimes the blessing is so extreme, it requires something from you. It's not found in sandbox Christianity. It's not found in the shallow waters. It's the deep places. Jacob had to go out to the deep. God struck his thigh and his hip joint came out of balance. He said, I'm not going to let go till you bless me. He said, what is your name? This is found in Genesis 32. He said, what's your name? Who are you? Supplanter? Deceiver? See, what God had for him was so far greater than who he was. What God has for you is so far greater than who you are right now. Sometimes to the changing of a name, identity, the refashioning who you are. Now he says, in King James, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for a prince thou hast reigned in power with God and has prevailed. King James got about half of that right. Because again, God speaks from the face of God here. And what he says is this. In verse 28 of Genesis 32, he said, thy name is no more called Jacob, but Israel. There was no name Israel before this time. God created that name. He created it from his own self. And it meant, as a prince, you've reigned with God. But God created an identity for Jacob that no one else had. He created a birthright that no one else had in the earth. This is the most unique name ever. God created. The devil hates it to this day. God named him. It was important for God to name him, because God wasn't just renaming. He was shifting his identity. He was transforming who he was. From the supplanter, from the deceiver, into a prince that's reigned with God. And so God's going to speak these things from the face of God, from a done realm created in the Father of lights. And this is what he says to him. This is Young's literal translation. Verse 28, Genesis 32. And God saith, thy name is no more called Jacob, but Israel. For thou hast been a prince with God and with man, and thou hast prevailed. Thy name is no more Jacob. Thy name hath been Israel. Once God said that, it created a generational shift in Jacob. A God-ordained identity to move him out from who he was into who God said he was. It doesn't matter who the devil says you are. What matters is who God says you are. Because there is a lot of identification in Christ that's done. Say done. But we're still holding on to former identity. We have to translate out from the darkness of the former identity into the marvelous light of who we are, fashioned into his glorious image, changed from glory to glory. So he changes his name. And Jacob says, called the place Penuel. This is how we got into this. For I have seen God face to face. This is how every time we find a Penuel moment, in the Bible. Penuel is a word called face, the face of God. We get really honed into it. And so he comes back to meet Esau, and he comes out of that encounter, and he's offering Esau all of his wealth. He goes, what are you doing? He goes, I got enough. Hi, brother. And he gives him a hug. He thinks Esau wants to kill him, but God stopped all of that. In fact, before the Penuel moment, angels came out to meet Jacob. God was already planning to dismantle the spirit that was upon Esau and bring an everlasting union there between the two. God can dismantle that kind of darkness over people on your behalf. That's part of the blessing. God will fight your battles instead of you have to. God will go out in front of you to make crooked places straight. That's part of the blessing. I want it. When I look at what happened when God shifted Jacob to Israel, man, every one of you have a list of the blessing. I want that. And I'm not going to let go until all of that is flowing in my life, in your life. So after that, God takes Jacob back. It's just an incredible journey to Bethel. Now, he's not speaking to Jacob. He's speaking to Israel. That's important. Because a lot of the promises of God surrounding your life are all about Christ in you, not your old man. Like when God was told Joseph, hey, your sheath's going to rise above this. The sun and the moon, it happened that way. But the way Joseph saw it when he was 17, 18 years old was a whole lot different than when it actually happened. God processes us. He shifts and changes who we are to identify with the blessing the way he sees us. Amen. In Genesis 35, he brings Jacob back. This is the moment in time. The whole nation, by the way, of Israel came out of this encounter. The land came out of this encounter. God named the land Israel way back then. I don't care what all these people talk about online. They talk about how it's the state of Palestine. I'm like, look, God gave it to Israel. It's called Israel because God named it that way. Thousands of years ago, no one will change that. He swore it that day. When he changed his name, he changed his identity. He says, now, Israel, I'll multiply Israel. I'm not multiplying the deceiver. I'm not multiplying the supplanter. Even though he blessed him, this kind of blessing was far greater than the one he got. The birthright, what he stole from Esau. This blessing went to a thousands of generations beyond him. This blessing, a whole nation, kings came out of this blessing. So much so that God named to this day Israel from this encounter. It will always be that way. Doesn't matter what man says about it. And so in Genesis 35, quiet in this Presbyterian church. Verse 10, and God said, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. In the verse 11, I am the God Almighty, be fruitful, multiply, a nation, come in, a nation shall be of thee. The shall be's in the King James are going to get your faith in the wrong place. I am not a shall be intercessor anymore. Because if you're a shall be, you're on the wrong side of the equation. When I was talking to Matt Sorgo about this at lunch, you just got to catch Matt at the right time. You know, I caught him. Kim was talking to Anna and Chuck was caught, and I caught Matt and I grabbed him and I caught his attention. I got it. I started sharing some of this with him. He goes, I knew it when he said it. He goes, we're on the wrong side of the equation. He goes, no wonder anyone gets their prayers answered. We're on the wrong side of the equation. Because if shall be means that if that pole over there is the finish line, I'm over here waiting to get to the finish line. So my faith is always trying to arrive somewhere instead of being on the other side of that pillar into a place that's already done. There's only one part of you that can stand in a place called done. And that is your spirit and faith. Faith allows you to transcend time, geographical boundary. Faith allows you to stand beyond. All you need is a word from God. From a finished place. And this word is what he said to him. And you'll see the difference between shall be Christianity. Or the done. I'm the done tribe. Done. If you're the shall be tribe, you're utilizing your faith to try to arrive somewhere that you already have arrived. You just don't know it. So here's how the Young's literal says this in verse 11. You'll see the difference because God does things to him who justified, to him he has glorified. Say glorified. I'm not sharing that with Matt. He goes, well, I got that part. He goes, I saw that. I preached on that. I said, have you stood in that place? He said, what do you mean stand in it? I said, if you're glorified, I said, you know, Abraham and David got close to God and they started looking over into our dispensation and started seeing how to walk with God without the law. And God accounted them the righteousness that he gave us freely at the cross. He accounted to them who were men under the law, but they weren't bound by it. They got to operate like you and I did. And the Bible calls it accounted righteousness. Which is pretty phenomenal. Well, if they did it, we get close enough to God, we can start looking at the dispensation in front of us and call it accounted glorification. That's why I said, do you stand in it? Do you stand there? I says, I have to have the scripture. I don't stand there here. I stand there in the ascension to the hill of the Lord, going up, standing in the Father of lights. Then we stand in the day. We have a whole series on the Mount of Transfiguration. You'll be quite amazed that that mountain actually surpassed our generation. That mountain went beyond our time. God moved that whole mountain in front of even our generation. It's a pretty phenomenal revelation. In the face of God, you can stand in a place called done. Got to make that change. The hardest thing ever is to teach people that have been doing something the same way to teach them to do it another way. That's a hard thing. That's like the cow at the new gate. Wait. The hard thing is because you get stuck in a certain way of doing things. And God wants to get us unstuck. Amen? And he wants to pluck us somewhere else and plant us. So here's how God said it. Verse 11, Genesis 35, very powerful. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. God says that, get ready. Be fruitful and multiply. God says that to you. Boom. A nation, an assembly of nations is from thee. This is the literal translation. Kings from thy loins go out. See, the shall be's not there. Do you understand the shall be? He said, king shall go out means that hadn't been done yet. But from the Father's position, it has been done because God's creative. He inhabits eternity. He is him who was, is, and is to come. So he encompasses it all. So he speaks from the finished place because that's where he dwells. That's why the Lord doesn't look at you the way you look at you. Because when you blow it and mess up big, how many of you ever blown it, messed up big? And so when you go approach God, what's the first thing you know? You really don't want to go approach God. Say, I'll see you in about a couple of weeks. Maybe. Because you're looking at you. But just look at the prodigal son. Imagine how he felt running from the father. living in the pig, squandered all of his inheritance. On his way back, God's running to him. Put the best robe, new shoes, signet ring. Give him the best robe. Kill the fatted calf. We're giving him another inheritance. The only person upset about that was the elder son. So give him another inheritance. You messed up round one, give him round two. God's got a few more rounds for all of us. Just because you blow it, he doesn't look at you like that. Because he's looking at you through the lenses of Christ, and Christ has already perfected you. The better thing to do, and when he taught me how to do this, whew, it was a good day, because God didn't call somebody who had it all together, I'll tell you that. But when I learn, see, you can have a very dysfunctional part of you that causes a lot of issues. But what I learned to do in those days is not run from God. I ran to him. I repented. I laid on the floor. I did the whole thing. But you're not going to be able to wallow in that every other day and keep doing the same repentance routine, because that's stage one to come out. The harder part was to go stand in a place he called righteousness when I felt like I was 1,000 miles from righteousness the other way. And I had to receive his forgiveness, and I had to go stand and start agreeing, and I had to agree with everything he said about me. That's easy if you're feeling good about yourself. If you're coming from a revival service, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm holy without blame before him in love. But when you're doing it, when you feel 1,000 miles away from him and you're standing in a light and you're forcing yourself in the light, I'm holy without blame, you said. In Christ. I'm unblameable, unreprovable in your sight. I had to move in a predetermined place that was done. But you know, faith will win that battle every time. If you keep doing that, faith will wash that stuff. And all of a sudden, reclothe you. And bam! You start seeing yourself the way God sees you. When you see yourself the way God sees you, the blessing shows up. And here's what he said, verse 12. He said, the land which I've given to Abraham and Isaac, to thee I give it. Israel. Yea, that seed after thee, I give the land. Not shall give it, I give. Done. That blessing, that journey. God blesses you along the way, just like he did Jacob. Used him. I mean, with Laban. Stood in front of those cows, those sheep. Spotted and gave him word of knowledge. Laban says, you keep the striped ones, I'll keep the ones. He'd put popular rods, and they would look at those rods, and they would produce striped. It's just amazing. Laban, 10 different times, changed it. So God blessed him, but the big blessing was this one. The one after he changed his name. When he got that identity. When he found who he was in Christ. When you find out really who you are. When he stood in the place to know who he was. Then God said, a nation's come out of thee. Kings come out of thee. A nation of this day, 3, 4, 5,000 years later, named after that man because of what happened. Because his faith laid hold of something and would not let go. We're holding on to some big stuff around here. May not look like it. From the outside. But what's going on up in here? So let's go over these blessings. Because this is what we're after. What we call the blessing. This is what we want. The blessing is for God to literally be with you in the earth. I know every one of you can say, God's with me. But there's a difference. I know God's in you. I get it. But there are people God's with them. And when God's with you, things happen all the time. When God's with you, he backs up your words. He backs up your decrees. He backs up your prayers. He backs up. He backs you up. The blessing is to access the face of God, transforming your name, identity, calling, and destiny. We just saw what that was. We're in that identity shift now. Sometimes you'll hear me say it. I am not an Atkinson. I am an Obison. I'm going to change my name. I already did in the spirit. I'm Abba's son. The Atkinson. Some of you were born out of an awesome family. You don't need me to go change your name. That bloodline. That's what created all the dysfunction. I'm not a part of that anymore. That one's buried in the Jordan. I've been raised up together with Christ. Made a new creation. My name is Abbas. Amen. The blessing is the catalyst that transforms you from promise to manifestation. That's huge. When you move from promise to manifestation, that's a big day for anybody. You're not carried anymore. It's manifested. Everybody can see it. You don't have to tell them you're blessed. They'll see it. They'll start asking you, what did you do? Can I get me some? The bless that the testimony of your life in God spoken of for 1,000 years to come. That was Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, James still speaking of. Think of men in the early centuries. Think of the apostle. Think of in the turn of our century. Men like Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, their testimony still speaking. Kim Clements, he's all over the internet all the time. Every time something happens, they throw up a prophecy of his. While he was singing, everybody was judging him, but now all his stuff's coming to pass. The blessing is to have God stand with you and fight your battles. It's a difference between you fighting it and God fighting it. To watch God. We recently had somebody try to do us wrong. Anna and I tried to do her wrong. It was a really bad situation. Can't talk about it, but it was a large amount of money. Just signed off on her name. And man, we didn't even know how to begin to fight that. And the God put favor on us. I walked in there and had a conversation with him. He said, man, I like you. And you know what? Anna did a lot of diligence. She wasn't going to back down. I said, look, she's a Viking. You're not going to get rid of her. You're going to have to return this money. And he did all of it. It was pretty awesome. The blessings that the angels constantly with you working on your behalf. We're constantly working our faith for the angels of God to be with us. You know how many books have been written about people who have an angelic encounter and the angels are all standing around? That's not one book. A lot of books that people write about angelic encounters, the angels are standing around bored because nobody puts them to work. They don't do anything. Not here. If you're angels, you're not going to work. We'll borrow yours for a season. Praise God. My name is Jimmy. I take all the angels you give me. All of them. Praise God. The blessing is for you to call your seed after you exceedingly multiply both you and them. The blessing will cause God to be bound to your seed. Spiritual and natural. He will bind himself to your seed. Like Noble Hayes, prayed 5 years for his daughter, nothing happened, and God sent an angel, walked up in her room. She was a drug addict. He was so large that all she could see from the chest down because he was standing in the room, and I guess his head went above the ceiling, and all she could see is his chest, and it scared her so bad, every devil left her. Recommitted her life and ended up serving with her dad all the days of their ministry. One encounter. The blessing is, of course, to be financially blessed with generational inheritance, generational wealth. The blessing is to walk as a possessor of heaven and earth. That's a big one. The blessing is for God to consider and call you his friend. When you become a friend of God, The blessing is to be transformed in the face of God from an orphan to full-age son, to heirs and joint heirs with God, to reigning kings by the seven spirits of God. Ooh, that's a big one. We're in like phase two of that. We'll get there. Phase three. Praise the Lord. Just a few I'll add here. I didn't write this. The blessing of health and wellness. Say health and wellness. Up till Christmas this last year, I had not been sick once. Probably 5 or 6 years. COVID, nothing. I don't know what happened Christmas time. But that's not going to stop me. Just because it happened, it's made me more determined. One thing I don't like the way that feels. I don't like anything about it. I don't like anything. I'm so used to not being sick and with a pain, with no pain in my body. 59 years old, that's pretty good. I mean, because I remember I was telling the doctor, we went to the doctor to get a checkup. And I said, just go and just get him a checkup. I said, I'm telling you, everything is fine. I told him, I said, I don't ever get sick. The doctor said, don't say that! Don't jinx yourself. I said, I don't do jinx. But just because that happened once, you just gird up, go at it again. But we're constantly reassigning our body into the glory of God, constantly reassigning our body to the day of the resurrection, reassigning our body to a place where sin, sickness, and infirmity can't dwell. Amen? The blessing is to make you the head and not the tail. I mean, you're tired of being the tail end. When you're the tail end, it stinketh. You want to be the head. Above only, not beneath. In fact, the whole prayer motto is you ascend into the heavens. You come down from a position that's above. Everything's under your feet in Jesus' name. That's why we do not address our enemies until we go up first. Walk in the high places of the earth to ride, say ride. Just recently, I was going through this thing and I started getting a little negative. And I just found things coming out of my mouth. The Lord said, don't, like Kim was saying, don't speak. Don't let that stuff come out of your mouth. Even if you want to say it, just find something else to say. Like if I'm really tired, weary of well-doing, instead of saying, I'm so tired. I'm so strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Your grace is sufficient. If I don't want to say that, but it's better I say that than the other stuff. Watch what comes out from your mouth. But recently, it's start blessing. Anna and I were at it one day. And I went to go pray. It's probably my fault. But at the time, it didn't feel like your fault. You know what I'm saying? How many of you ever... Anybody want to ever? And no, did I get? Do I get Chuck? Chuck wants to raise Kim's hand. Well, you in your argument, you want to defend yourself. So I was in prayer, and I was actually complaining to God. I'm right about this. And God's not really concerned about who's right or who's wrong. He's concerned more about unity. So his response to me, he goes, "I want you to bless her." What? He said, bless her. I bless her. Amen. I mean, we were not, you know, it wasn't a happy day in the office and household. He said, no. I want you to bless her. Sit back in your chair and bless her. Come to me where I am and hold her before my throne and bless her. And I did that. How long? Until it felt good. Until the blessing felt like blessing. It was sincere. And you know what? That day, God came in and changed everything that day. It was amazing. And the Lord said, I want you to bless. Just start blessing. Bless your sons. Bless your daughters. Bless. Man, God, he's wanting us to go further than that. He wants to bless those who persecute us. I mean, we should at least start blessing those who love us, you know. Graduate a little bit. Today, Father, I bless this house. I thank you for what it is. I thank you for the sons and daughters of this house. I thank you for the champions of faith. I bless the ministries and the businesses. I bless Zara back there. Hallelujah. Amen. Use what God's given you to be a blessing. Bless and speak blessing. Amen. And continue. Sometimes you have to grit your teeth in certain circumstances. Bless. Like when you're driving and you want to honk that horn. I know you want to honk. Or when you're talking to somebody on the phone and they... Unless it's like a recording, then you can just have at it. You know, if you're talking to some voice recording, because it's not a person. But it's a person on the phone, and you're gritting, you're like, oh my God. Bless you. Learn to bless. Amen. A blessing come out from you. Ride in the high places of God. Keep his word. Stay out in front. Be inheritor. Lord, I bless this house as inheritors of both heaven and earth, possessors of heaven and earth, possessors of the gates of the enemy. Out of this house flows rivers of living water, all of the earth to see. We give you glory.